Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 611 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. So very interesting development at the federal government level. President Trump, well, not him directly, but the Office of Personnel Management has issued a memo that, my personal reaction, I think this is one of the most exciting things I have ever seen. And that's like, this is, I know some people are going to hate it. But that's okay. And no, I'm not talking about the EPA and the endangerment finding. That's a whole separate issue. I agree with that one, too. But that's not what I'm getting into here at this moment. This is a completely separate thing. The Office of Personnel Management, this is the headline from CBS. Trump administration says federal employees can encourage coworkers to rethink their religious beliefs. You can evangelize in the workplace in the federal government is the idea. You say, what? Yeah. In a memo to federal agencies, Office of Personnel Management basically said public employees have the right to religious expression in the workplace. You know, like, I don't know, the First Amendment says. You know, like, look at who read their Constitution. Isn't that fascinating? So, no, but really, okay? And, you know, and then there's kind of a history here of, you know, the Clinton administration, 97, it said federal employees can discuss their religious views with one another and may even attempt to persuade fellow employees of the correctness of their views. They just have to refrain from such expression when a fellow employee asks that it stop, right? You can't harass somebody, but, you know, you can talk religion as long as they don't object. As current OPM director Scott Cooper says, it's K-U-P-O-R, not C-O-O-P-E-R, if you're trying to look them up. I don't think you would, but anyway. Federal employees should never have to choose between their faith and their career. Amen, brother. This guidance ensures the federal workplace is not just compliant with the law, but welcoming to Americans of all faiths. Outstanding. So there's a 5-page memo. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'm going to read you the bulk of it because this, to me, I read this and I just got happier and happier the whole time I was reading. I thought, this is so good. This is almost unequivocally good activity by the Trump administration. And John, do I ever get to say that? Not a
no.
lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here goes.
I mean, I had to think, but.
Background and purpose. This is from the OPM memo. The founders, I pulled it up. I thought, well, CBS, I want to read the memo. It was easy to find. The founders established a nation in which people were free to practice their faith without fear of discrimination or retaliation by their government. President Trump is committed to reaffirming America's unique and beautiful tradition of religious liberty, including by directing the executive branch to vigorously enforce the historic and robust protections for religious liberty enshrined in federal law. The federal workforce should be a welcoming place for federal employees who practice a religious faith. Allowing religious discrimination in the federal workplace violates the law. It also threatens to adversely impact recruitment and retention of highly qualified employees of faith. In other words, discriminating against religion or religious expression. Okay, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution robustly protects expressions of religious faith by all Americans, including federal employees. Right? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Simple. Okay. The United States Supreme Court has clarified that the Free Exercise Clause protects not only the right to harbor religious beliefs inwardly and secretly, but also protects the ability of those who hold religious beliefs of all kinds to live out their faiths in daily life. Indeed, respect for religious expression is indispensable to life in a free and diverse republic. Freedom of religious expression is further protected by federal statutes. These statutes prohibit the federal government from discriminating in employment based on religion or religious expression. This memorandum provides guidance to agencies on robustly protecting and enforcing each federal employee's right to engage in religious expression in the federal workplace consistent with the U.S. Constitution, Title VII, and other applicable sources of law. It should be read in conjunction with OPM's Reasonable Accommodations and Religious Purposes memo from 2025, July of 16. Agencies should allow personal religious expression by federal employees to the greatest extent possible unless such expression would impose an undue hardship on business operations, and they should review and, if necessary, revise their internal policies to ensure that they appropriately protect religious expression. More in a second because the details here start to become very interesting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, Highway 29 are all rolling delay-free. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So the Trump administration yesterday rolls out a robust protection for religious expression and even religious conversation, prayer, evangelism within the workplace. With limits, but generally speaking, it's supposed to be, you know, tolerance, because that's kind of what the First Amendment says. Anyway, continuing to read, federal employees enjoy broad religious expression rights in the workplace. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination in employment because of an individual's religion, among other protective characteristics. Here's where it starts to get interesting. Title VII does not demand mere neutrality with regard to religious practices. This is a very common mistake people make. They think that neutrality has to be the policy. That they be treated no worse than other practices. Instead, it gives them favored treatment, obligating agencies not to discipline or discharge employees for their religious observance and practice. This is necessary to ensure religious persons' full participation in the workforce. By the way, half of this is all quotes from like Supreme Court cases and legal interpretations. So this is what you're reading. This is what I'm reading. But it's all footnoted. I mean, massive number of footnotes here. Accordingly, Title VII requires employers to reasonably accommodate an employee's religious observances, practices, and beliefs unless doing so would cause an undue hardship on the conduct of the employee's business or employer's business. Yeah, you have to let people be religious. Further, a coworker's dislike of religious practice and expression in the workplace. I repeat. A coworker's dislike of religious practice and expression in the workplace is not cognizable to factor into the undue hardship inquiry. So if the coworker just doesn't like religious talk or doesn't like you having a Bible or doesn't like prayer, tough. That does not constitute even a factor you're allowed to consider in whether it's imposing a hardship, because then you're imposing the kind of silence rule, the neutrality rule, which is not neutrality. So-called neutrality is hostility to religion. Title VII defines religion to include all aspects of religious observance and practice as well as belief, not just practices that are mandated or prohibited by a tenet of the individual's faith. However, Title VII does not cover all beliefs. For example, social, political, or economic philosophies and mere personal preferences are not religious beliefs within the meaning of the statute. So you can talk to your coworkers openly about the gospel. You cannot, under the same protections, talk as openly to them about your belief that Trump is fantastic or terrible. And that's an important distinction. That's what they're saying here. Agencies may require that employees perform official work while on duty as opposed to engaging in personal religious observances. And like I said, some of the details here matter. So what's protected? What are they saying? Display and use of items for religious purposes or religious icons. Employees should be permitted to display and use items used for religious purposes or icons of a religiously significant nature, including but not limited to Bibles, artwork, jewelry, posters, displaying religious messages, as long as posters in general are allowed, you cannot prohibit religious ones, and other indicia of religion, or indicia depending on how you prefer to pronounce it, such as crosses, crucifixes, and mezuzahs. That's a Jewish thing. On their desks, on their person, and in their assigned workspaces. Conversations between federal employees. Employees may engage in conversations regarding religious topics with fellow employees, including attempting to persuade others of the correctness of their own religious views, provided that such efforts are not harassing in nature. Employees may also encourage their coworkers to participate in religious expressions of faith, like prayer, to the same extent they would be permitted to encourage coworkers to participate in other personal activities. Hey, you want to go golfing this weekend? Sure. Hey, you want to go to church this weekend? Sure. You can't make religion less favored than talking about bowling or video games. And if you would try to encourage somebody to go see a movie, then you have to be allowed to encourage them to go see a sermon. The constitutional rights of supervisors to engage in such conversations should not be distinguished from non-supervisor employees by the nature of their supervisory roles. However, unwillingness to engage in such conversations may not be the basis of workplace discipline. Meaning even supervisors can talk to subordinates. You say, whoa. Managers can evangelize their employees. As long as the employee doesn't say they don't want to hear it anymore, yes. Because otherwise you're discriminating against superiors. Well, Andrew, doesn't that create its own kind of workplace hostility? Won't people engage in religion in order to curry favor with superior? Yeah, that's actually a fear. That's a fair concern. But does it justify prohibiting religious expression in the workplace? And the answer is no, because you kind of got to go one way or the other. You either allow it or you prohibit it. And what the Trump administration is saying, we've read the First Amendment, we're going to allow it. And by the way, you know what's kind of interesting, John? You'll appreciate this. I was thinking about this. Does the New Testament consider evangelism an option or a mandate?
It's not an option.
It's right. It's a mandate.
Yes.
You know, you're supposed to pray and you're supposed to attend church and you're supposed to, you know, support charity or tithe, depending on how you prefer to talk about it. You're also supposed to avoid certain things. You know, don't murder, don't cheat on your spouse, you know, that kind of stuff. But evangelism is not a suggestion.
No.
Right?
Correct.
I mean, we kind of treat it like it is. You know, but evangelism is really a command. Okay, so if you were to prohibit evangelism in the workplace, you would be prohibiting Christians from obeying the Bible, right? I mean, I'm not saying the Bible is right. I mean, I do believe that, but I'm saying that if you're going to allow workplace expressions of religion, like, okay, for example, Muslims pray to Mecca 5 times a day, right? And you have to accommodate that as long as you can. And correct, you should accommodate that. You should. You should let them pray 5 times a day, aim towards Mecca on their prayer carpet, of course, if you can. I mean, there are certain situations where you can't accommodate that, but when that can be accommodated, you absolutely should. Well, evangelism is an obligatory endeavor by Christians, at least for Christians who believe that's, and many of us do. So when you prohibit it on the grounds of neutrality, do you see how you're not just not being neutral, you're being hostile to religion, you're actually prohibiting people from obeying their religion? Anyway, back to the reading of this. Let's see. Hiding it from the public. You don't have to hide it from the public, even in areas where it's accessible to the public. So it then goes down into particulars. You know, Bible on your desk is fine. Rosary on your desk is fine. During breaks, you can use the items to pray. It doesn't say you have to allow them to pray during work, you know, off hours. You can wear religious icons. You can have a prayer group as long as it doesn't interfere with work time and isn't done during work time. You can study scripture. And it specifically says an employee who requests a supervisor prohibit coworkers from gathering in an empty conference room for prayer should politely be told his coworkers' conduct will be allowed to continue as it is permissible. They're actually guiding you how to respond to anti-religious Karens in the workplace. During a break, I'm almost done. During a break, an employee may engage in other impolite discussion of why his faith is correct and why the non-adherent should rethink his religious beliefs. However, if the non-adherent requests such attempts to stop, the employee should honor the request. An employee may invite another to worship at her church despite belonging to a different faith. On a bulletin board meant for personal announcements, a supervisor may post a handwritten note inviting each of his employees to attend an Easter service at his church. A park ranger leading a tour through a national park may join her tour group in prayer. A doctor at a Veterans Affairs hospital may pray over his patient for her recovery. A security guard stationed at the front desk. This is from the memo examples. A security guard stationed at the front desk of a federal office building may display and use a crucifix Bible or use rosary beads. A receptionist in a doctor's office at a VA medical clinic center may pray with a coworker in the patient's waiting room. It was so refreshing. It was, you know me, I have a very mixed opinion of President Trump. This, I'm 100%. This is fantastic.
Amen. Oh.
Right?
Right.
Like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And also, I'll challenge you. If the reaction that you're having to this is, oh no, or, oh, what about this? Or, oh, I don't like that. Or, oh, religion is suddenly going to take over the workplace. Okay. I get where you're coming from. But you have wittingly or unwittingly accepted the false notion that a government prohibition on religion is acceptable under the First Amendment as some goofy expression of neutrality, and it's not. You have also accepted, wittingly or unwittingly, Proposition 2, which is that society is better when people don't talk about religion. Because society is better when people don't talk about the single most important thing, according to most people's beliefs, if they're religious. And the purpose of the First Amendment, you'll recall, was to protect religious speech and political speech. Now, political speech, it's a second tier compared to religion, but it is also important. Should you be allowed to argue politics in the workplace? You should, but I'm going to settle for step one. I'm going to settle for this one. Anyway, just some thoughts. 625 on News Radio 92.3. Well done, Mr. President. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 looking good. If you're headed to NAS Pensacola, the main gate to NAS is backed up to Barrancas. So just be aware of that. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It was good jokes. It was bad jokes.
Somebody texted me and said, how long will it be until the left starts screaming Christo-fascism? Well, let's go check TikTok and see what they're saying. We're probably not there yet because they probably don't realize this has happened. But, I'm sure today or tomorrow, something like that. 437-1620. Where did the other another comment somebody had said in? I cannot find it all of a sudden. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, it's been a long night for folks in Hawaii where a tsunami warning has now been reduced to an advisory. That tsunami alert was triggered yesterday after a massive 8.8 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Russia sent shockwaves across the Pacific Ocean. The Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates is coming later today, despite President Trump's pressure on Chairman Jerome Powell to bring rates down. The central bank is widely expected to keep the rates where they are, with no change seen likely coming until September at the earliest. And attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs are now asking a federal judge to release him from jail as he awaits his sentencing in October. In a 12-page letter to the judge, Diddy's lawyers say that the rap mogul should not remain incarcerated for the transportation to engage in prostitution counts he was convicted of. They say that there are exceptional reasons to justify his release.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, folks on the left always understand the idea that if a bad thing is happening and you're silent about it, the silence is violence kind of idea. Well, neutrality is silence. And if you have to be silent about the truth of, say, Christianity, that's violence against religion.
Fox News. I'm- Chris Foster, tsunami waves from an earthquake in eastern Russia reach Hawaii and California. Warnings are lifted now, but there were evacuation zones in Hawaii.
If you're in a building, you can go up 4 stories. You will be safe in that case. You have to be very careful, though. Otherwise, you need to leave the evacuation zone.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green, waves there were as high as 5.7 feet. Waves about 3.5 feet higher reported in Crescent City, California. In New York City, a vigil for 4 people killed Monday in a shooting in an office building.
We cannot respond to senseless gun laws through vigils. It must be responded through legislation.
Mayor Eric Adams, the gunman killed himself. He drove to New York from Las Vegas, apparently targeting the National Football League headquarters in the building. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees, the real field temp at about 88 right now. Well, we're a little ways out yet from the next big local air show, the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show on board NAS Pensacola. This Friday you can purchase seating for that event, reserved seating.
August 1st.
Tickets go on sale.
Yes.
For reserve seating.
All right.
Now, the air show is free to everyone, but if you want to make sure that you get a little, maybe a little bit better of a seat, maybe some creature comforts that can go along, because it's unpredictable. It could be 100 degrees.
Right.
Or it could be 40.
That is Public Affairs Officer Bruce Cummins and MWR Director Deborah Brockway from NAS Pensacola. Now, some of their options include box seating at $50 a seat and Flightline Chalet seating at $150 per seat. Both of those options include various levels of amenities. You can buy your tickets online Friday at NASPensacolaAirShow.org, and more information will be available throughout the week on the NAS social media pages. An Escambia County deputy, now part of Governor DeSantis' Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission, Sergeant Chase Horn, was appointed by the governor for a 4-year term this week.
Sergeant Chase Horn is an absolute rock star for our agency. He has worked patrol. He worked at Pensacola Beach. He was elected by the men and women of the sheriff's office to be the president of the PBA for Northwest Florida, our bargaining unit, the union.
Police Benevolent Association.
And he does a fantastic job.
That is Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs from the Sheriff's Office. He tells News Radio Sergeant Horn is worth his weight in gold for the agency, as he regularly heads up all their special projects and not only identifies problems but also offers solutions to them. Hobbs says he's glad that Sergeant Horn is being recognized by the state for all of the hard work that he puts in. Well, a man that killed 3 people in Orange County will be put to death. Governor Ron DeSantis signing the death warrant for Curtis Windham yesterday. Windham shot his victims in Winter Garden in 1992. One was a man that owed him money. Another was his girlfriend. The third victim was her mother. The 59-year-old Windham will be executed on August 28th. It'll be the 11th execution of the year for the state. Governor Ron DeSantis asking for guidance on making laws about artificial intelligence. The governor discussed AI policy at the Florida Sheriff's Association conference yesterday. He asked the people at the conference to present ideas for regulating the technology. The governor says AI is going to be a big issue that we're going to have to tackle in the next several months. Well, Hulk Hogan's daughter says the two had a connection deeper than words, one that spanned lifetimes. Brooke Hogan, breaking her silence yesterday on Hulk Hogan's death this week after suffering, cardiac arrest. The Hulkster's daughter shared that she felt like a part of her spirit left when he died, but says that her dad is finally at peace and out of pain. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. The I-10 westbound on ramp from 9 Mile is blocked. There's an 18-wheeler in the woods and blocking the ramp. First responders are on the scene on that. But no accidents to let you know about. I-10, the rest of I-10 and 110 look good. Highway 90, 98. Highway 29, minor delay southbound around 10 Mile Road. Just a minor delay there. No, nothing really But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We're also going to be under a heat advisory as temperatures warm back into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. High today near 90 degrees, low in the 80s. Going into your Thursday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 81 right now across the area with partly cloudy skies. Real field temp at 93 degrees. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields held steady this morning as investors keenly awaited the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision, as well as the batch of economic data. The 10-year Treasury yield was little changed at 4.328%. The 2-year yield was down by less than a basis point at 3.867%. Investors are awaiting the Federal Reserve's interest rate announcement this afternoon. CME Group's Fed Watch tool predicts a 98% likelihood of the central bank keeping its key rate at a range of 4.25% to 4.5%. A Louisiana real estate developer has been charged with one count of racketeering and 4 counts of criminal blight for allegedly allowing multiple properties to deteriorate into hazardous and uninhabitable conditions. Officials announced the charges against developer Edward Neil Morris III, who owns dozens of properties across New Orleans. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data later this morning. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 18, the NASDAQ up 49. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, but you think that everything good is gone.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Good morning, 640 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew Kay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. You're always welcome to participate at 437-1620. Particularly if you disagree, also welcome to agree. But, you know, if you're sitting there having a, hey, what about this dummy kind of moment, text me. And you know, if you're thinking it, other people are thinking it, and let's address it. I don't mind. Doesn't bother me. I used to teach, and I love teaching, and, you know, love answering objections, and students raise their hand. I want to, you know, let's play. Let's talk. You know, it's a collaborative effort. Florida Story, News Service of Florida, which, by the way, is a great, great journalistic resource. I love the News Service of Florida. Southeast Florida sheriff and a state attorney are trying to scuttle. This is a great word, scuttle. A challenge to the constitutionality of a Florida law that bars people from openly carrying guns. St. Lucie County Sheriff Richard Del Toro and 19th Judicial Circuit State Attorney Thomas Bacadal? Bakkedahl. I don't know. It reminds me of Greek food. Anyway, on Friday, asked a federal judge to side with them in a lawsuit filed last year by Gun Owners of America, good organization, the Gun Owners Foundation, don't know them, and Palm Beach County resident Richard Hughes. 21-page motion filed for summary judgment. The sheriff and the prosecutor, who are defendants in the case, argue that the law preventing open carrying of guns does not violate Second Amendment rights. Florida, of course, allows people to carry concealed weapons. Now without a permit. Used to be with a permit, now it's without a permit. Arthur Buddy Jacobs, attorney for Del Toro and Bacadal, wrote in the motion, this is for the sheriff and the state attorney, so there, the lawsuit seeks to compel Florida to allow you to openly carry guns. The sheriff and the state attorney are responding that it is constitutional to restrict the open carry of firearms, especially as long as you allow another option, namely the concealed carry of firearms. You see the two sides here, okay? So the sheriff's side says, this is South Florida sheriff, not our sheriff, the Second Amendment's plain text does not protect a right to the open carriage when another means of public carriage, concealed carriage, is available. They keep saying carriage, and I keep picturing horses and prom
drawers. That's what I was doing.
Anyway, people sometimes get in the habit of using overly convoluted words for, you know, but at the same time, people with a good vocabulary use it without thinking that they're doing something pretentious. They just use the right words. The plain text protects the right to keep and bear arms, not the right to carry them in any particular manner, such as openly. So there's two issues here. The question is, first of all, does the Constitution protect you in the open carry of firearms? Now, I know some people say yes, because they have talked about this constitutional carry is the way they have adopted the phrase. The second question is whether it's wise, it's prudent, whether it's a good idea. If there were no constitution, so to speak, would it be good to let people carry openly or to not restrict them in carrying openly? So whenever there's a question of the law, there's always the question, there's the political question of the wisdom of the policy. And then there's the question of whether the Constitution, wisdom aside, protects the behavior, right? I mean, I take an example we were just talking about last half hour. I think that persuading people that Islam is true is a mistake, because, I mean, I'm a Christian. So I think that trying to persuade people that Muhammad is the prophet is a mistake, is an error, that the Quran is not a holy text, okay? So from a wisdom perspective, I would prefer a world in which we don't have that. You know, I don't want people spreading the error of Islam, you know, because I have a different view. But it doesn't matter what I think about that. What matters is we have a constitution that says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment, right? Okay, so it doesn't really matter. And you can make other arguments about the question of, well, if you start picking and choosing, then who is to pick and choose? And how do you know that eventually they won't pick and choose against you if you're allowing them to pick and choose against them? And that's the reason that we have a First Amendment in the first place. Okay. Similarly here, take another example. Let's see. Well, we'll stick with the one at hand. The constitutionality of open carry. I believe that open carry is a good policy. I like open carry. I've lived in states where we've had open carry. It's no big deal. I mean, everybody is, it weirds people out who've never lived with it. And once you live with it for, I don't know, 6 months or so, unless you have some, you know, psychosis that makes you afraid of guns, you know, gunophobia. Yeah, well, you know, some people do. Like, ah, right. It's a gun. You know, it's triggering. Sorry.
Oh,
come
no.
on. Come on.
It's triggering.
Anyway.
Maybe we should stop right there and do a traffic report.
All right,
report
fine.
Real
go
quick.
On. We'll come back to this. Go on, John.
All right. If you are on I-10 westbound, the on-ramp from 9 Mile is still blocked. There's an 18-wheeler in the woods and is blocking the ramp. And I'm starting to see some delays on 9 Mile trying to get on to I-10 westbound. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. I'm triggering cars.
Here I go. Okay, so again, as far as open carry goes, which is the ability of a citizen who hasn't committed a violent felony to openly carry, for example, a pistol on your hip, I like that policy. I believe in that policy. I've lived places where we've had it. I think it's a good policy. That is a different question from whether the Constitution requires the government to not interfere with me openly carrying a firearm. And I don't think it does. I think the sheriff and the SAO are right in this. When people call it constitutional carry, I think that they're misunderstanding the Constitution. It says keep and bear. It doesn't say keep and bear openly. As long as you allow citizens to bear, you know, there's both parts, keep, as in purchase, own, store, transport, okay? You know, those are the keep side. And then the bear side is, you know, to have it with you. Well, as long as you allow people to bear the gun, to carry it, concealed without too much restriction, because there are still some, you know, most all of these rights come with some restrictions. Even free speech has certain restrictions. That's fine. I do not think the Constitution requires open carry. But I do think it's a good policy. And we have a habit in this country. It's a bad habit. It's a habit I wish more people would get out of, but it's not likely that they're going to anytime soon. The habit is, if I believe in something, I will call it a right. And if it's close to anything in the Constitution, I'll say it's a constitutional right. Because it's important if things are constitutional rights, and you're supposed to take that seriously. And so people have learned, well, if I say I want more money for better food or housing or a nice car, nobody cares when I say I want that thing. But if you say I have a right to transportation, or I have a right to housing, or I have a right to food, oh, they have a right. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, rights are important. We better make sure not to violate their rights. You know, I have a right to medical care. Do you have a right to medical care? From where? Because obviously rights have to come from somewhere. And the question is, who granted you those rights? And especially if it's a claim right that requires somebody else to do something, which is all of those ones. There are also freedom rights, which simply require other people to not do something, you know, to not interfere with you. Those are liberty rights. Liberty rights are easier to establish because they don't obligate other people except to refrain from stopping you. Anyway, so when you make claim rights, all of a sudden, kind of like, who's obligated to provide it? I mean, if you can't afford health insurance, who's obligated to provide it? Well, everybody. Well, why? Well, you know, because it's, because people, just, there's no argument for this. It's just something people want, and it's a nice thing. And so they call it a right, and if they're really outrageous enough, they call it a constitutional right. Okay, so back to the issue of the guns. You have a constitutional right to be allowed to purchase, store, own, and to transport and carry a weapon. It does not have to be carried outside. It can be carried concealed. And that's my view, okay? So I think that the sheriff and the SAO are right in this case and that the lawsuit is going to be wrong. Gun Owners of America, though I love them and agree with them a lot of times, they're wrong about this. It's not a constitutional right to openly carry, even though I agree with the policy. And that's an important distinction to make. It's important to know the difference between what the Constitution requires or prohibits and what makes what you agree with or disagree with. 650 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janie King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janie King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive.
Take control of your future today at JannieKingCleans.com.
Jannie King, the king of clean.
A lot of life can happen between sips of Dasani. Like organizing a family movie night under the stars. Or hearing an old favorite song and having an impromptu dance party. The crisp, clean taste of Dasani was made for all of life's thirst-worthy moments. Dasani, because life happens between sips.
Find your sip of Dasani today at your favorite local retailer and watch life happen.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Join Kia Autosport of Pensacola for a special luncheon benefiting Forever Des, a local nonprofit focusing on empowering teen girls. See KiaAutosportPensacola.com for more. Saturday, check out Palafox Market from 9 till 2. Items originate directly from talented on-site vendors up and down Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Who wears short shorts? We wear short shorts.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go.
Oh, I love you guys. Best audience ever. The best, seriously. Because I got several texts in telling me that, how do you say this word? Is it haplophobia? Is that the word? I think that's right. Haplophobia is fear of guns. Of course there's a word for it. Of course there is. Somebody else says, Andrew, you know, just because I oppose open carry doesn't mean that I'm afraid of the guns. Oh, no, of course. I didn't say that. Some people, when they see a gun, they just get so nervous. It's so funny. All right. 653 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, okay. You remember the story of the horrible, terrible 11 people stabbed in the Michigan Walmart? And
yes.
The guy that got basically, you know, taken Bugged. Down by the yeah. by the citizens and didn't get killed. And the guy that was holding the gun in a very, you know, sideways thug life manner. That dude's a Marine? I can't make
and
sense
a grandfather.
Of it. Even my wife says to me, wait, this dude's a Marine? I'm like, I am fairly certain that there's no drill instructor that ever taught him to hold a pistol that way. I don't know. But,
no.
But at least he had a gun. Again, he had a gun. He was part of the solution. So David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, I wonder if all Marines train with handguns or not, though.
Yeah, you know, that's a fair question because rifles, yes, handguns, maybe not.
Right. So when I was in the Army, which obviously different branches and all that, but the majority of people only trained with rifles. And if you didn't have your
point.
Own personal handgun, you might never really get that training.
Would you train with the rifle sideways like that?
Probably not.
Well, you know, maybe going around a corner or something. Maybe. Not,
it seems
really
like
not.
You might have trouble hitting the 300-yard target with it sideways. But maybe.
It's,
who knows?
It's
you know?
Just such a – it's anyway, go on, David. You're, no, but you're right. You know, you may not train on the handgun. That's true.
A Palestinian peace activist featured in the Oscar-winning documentary No Other Land has died after being murdered Monday in the West Bank. Yuval Abraham, who co-directed the film, said on X that Adwa Hadaline, and I hope I'm pronouncing the names right, but I'm probably not, had been shot by an Israeli settler in the occupied West Bank. Hadaline had sent a message to a fellow peace activist saying he and a group of people were under attack. He was found hours after that. Longtime Jeffrey Epstein associate and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell's request for immunity in exchange for testimony has been declined by a House committee. She, of course, is currently serving a 20-year sentence in federal prison. And Happy Gilmore 2 setting records on Netflix, Andrew. The sequel to the 1996 classic movie has generated over 46 million views in its first 3 days, with views defined as the total hours watched divided by the total runtime.
Nice. All right. Very good. 655 News Radio 92.3.
Have you watched it yet?
Oh, no. But I will.
I'm a little scared to watch it.
Well, it's always the thing that was great. It's hard to know whether the follow-up is going to be any good or not.
Everything that I've seen people saying about it is that you either find it completely funny or you've lost your sense of humor.
Oh, okay. So if you don't love it, you're going to get accused of something.
I'm scared that maybe I've just become a grumpy old man at this point.
Also possible. Also possible. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. If you are on 9 Mile Road approaching I-10 westbound and wondering what the delay is, well, there's a 18-wheeler that has gone off the side of the road into the woods. And so they've got the ramp blocked right now. Just seeing some minor delays there, so you might want to plan an alternate route. The rest of I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. And this traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out.
Is that it?
I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I was waiting for you to finish.
Okay.
Well, Andrew, what about militia? What about well-regulated? Well, I mean, the militia was everybody. You know, well-regulated means well-provisioned, which means they're supposed to have guns. You got to read words in the context of the time that they were written. Just like, by the way, I don't mean to start another fight, but religion, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Religion at the time of the founding did not include what we include in it today. It did not include all of the various religious beliefs, you would say, of the world. Buddhism, Islam, atheism is now considered a religion, weirdly. Anti-religion is really not actually a religion. It was a denomination of Christianity. Congress doesn't get to pick the denomination of Christianity is what it should read. If you really go look and you say, well, how can that be the case? Well, I mean, look at the states. The states all had, some of them had state religions. They had state Christian denominations. And they decided that Congress would not pick between the slices of Christianity. That's what it was. But this is a much longer conversation. People don't know the history of the language, and that's why they read the Constitution poorly. But that's okay.
This was getting deep.
There's lots of room for discussion.
I was like, wow.
I had somebody who was irritated at me because I read half his text, not the full text. I'm like, well, here's the other half if you want it. 437-1620. I was trying to do you a favor. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is fascinating to me. Stephen Colbert may not last until May.
Why?
Because now that he knows he's getting fired, he's apparently gotten even more vehemently anti-Trump. I did not watch this. I'm going on a report I read. But apparently even the first day back on the air, he said F you to President Trump, I guess. And CBS is like, he appears to be giving us a reason to fire him. The reasons are forthcoming. So,
wow.
You're going to fire me for being, too political? Guess what? We can fire you sooner. As my radio boss has always told me, is you can do anything you want on your last day. Say anything you want on your last day. But here's the other thing that I thought was fascinating. So Jimmy Fallon, who has the lowest ratings of the three late night talk show hosts, is getting an additional show.
Huh?
Yeah, he's going to be doing a show in primetime. It's something about branding. It's going to be like, it strikes me as something that's a little bit like a reality show-esque sort of thing. But it's called On Brand with Jimmy Fallon. And they're going to, he's going to start a marketing agency and he's going to get the most competitive, creative people in there to kind of come up with better branding for existing companies and some sort of a reality type competition. And that's going to air 2 times a week, apparently.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay.